Back in 2007, in Washington, D.C., at a metro station, there were many pedestrians who were going about their daily lives. There was also a violinist who happened to be there. And in this metro station, he was up against one of the walls, playing some different pieces from Bach. He played for about 40 minutes. But for the most part, people ignored him and just kept going about their daily business, not really paying attention to him at all. Hundreds of people passing by, and only about 7 stopped to listen briefly. The violinist ended up earning about $59 at that metro station that day. But that same violinist has recorded over 40 albums and has been in 200 international concerts. And his violin is worth $3.5 million. The violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the top violinists in the world. So we might wonder, okay, what was he doing then in a metro station playing music? It was a social experiment. He wanted to see how people would react. If we have one of the best musicians playing some of the most difficult and most beautiful music in the world, while people are going about their daily lives, how would they react to it? Would they recognize it? Would they stop and listen? The results speak for themselves. The people weren't really doing that. Most of them just went about their business. Very few stopped. And why is that? Well, it seems that the people weren't expecting it. They weren't anticipating this particular occurrence. They didn't know who he was or what he was doing. They had no idea what kind of music was being played or how privileged they are to hear him. I mean, after all, he would fill concert halls where the average price tag of a single seat was $100. And yet he was having this free concert in a metro station. And so we might wonder, how much do we miss out on life because we're not ready for it, because we're not prepared for it, because we're not anticipating it, we're not open to it? What things do we fail to appreciate and enjoy because we didn't anticipate it? Just imagine how different it would have been if people knew what was going to happen. If they knew that Joshua Bell was going to have a free concert in that metro station. The way I imagine it, the metro station would have been packed. Many people would have come and they would have just sat down or stood and just listened and appreciated and enjoyed and received the beauty of his music. In fact, I doubt people would be able to go about their daily lives. So many people would be crowding around Joshua Bell that they couldn't go from train to train in that metro station. But that didn't happen because the people weren't ready. They weren't expecting. They weren't watching. They weren't waiting. And so they missed out. But we see this theme, this waiting, watching, anticipating, and looking forward to something. We see these in our readings today. In fact, in our first reading, Isaiah was watching and waiting for God. He wanted him to come to his people Israel. He wanted God to perform some awesome deeds, ones even greater than he had done previously. He wanted miracles that surpassed what God has done for their ancestors. And he knew that what he was asking for would be provided if he was willing to wait. But he was also pleading with the Lord, asking him to come. He said, "Return for the sake of your servants." This longing, this desire for God was there. It's in our first reading. He wanted God to come to help the people, free them from their sinfulness, free them from the guilt of what they've done. And these themes of waiting, anticipating, watching, looking forward to things, that's integral parts of the Advent season. The word Advent is Latin. It means to come. And during this Advent season, we are watching, waiting, anticipating the coming of Christ. Isaiah was watching, waiting for the advent of God, praying that God would come to his people to save them, waiting for him. And indeed he did. He came in kind of an unexpected way. He came in person, not through prophets like he had in the past, but God became man. He became man in the form of a little baby who's there in a manger, had 30 years of an ordinary life, 3 years of ministry, and then gave it all up out of love for us, giving his life on the cross, reconciling us to God the Father, saving us from those sins and the guilt of those sins, as Isaiah had requested. Whenever we are desiring something, waiting for it, we are increasing our capacity to enjoy it when it arrives. We're opening ourselves up to be ready for it when it's there. But if we don't anticipate, if we're not watching, if we're not waiting, if we don't expect it, we might just miss out on something great and wonderful, like so many pedestrians did in a metro station in Washington, D.C. back in 2007. God and his church do not want us to miss out on the grace, the blessings, the joy that can be ours at Christmas. But that requires us to watch, to wait, to anticipate. It's why the church gives us this season of Advent, so that by having a good Advent, we can have a great Christmas. By being prepared, by being ready, our ability to enjoy that celebration will be much greater. But how is it that we prepare? How is it that we get ready during this Advent season for Christmas? How is it that we open our hearts more to receive the Lord at the Christmas season? Well, I'll give a few suggestions. There are more ways of preparing for Christmas than what I will share with you, but these are certainly good ones that can help in that process of watching, waiting, preparing, and anticipating. The first of which is that we can use a daily prayer book, an Advent meditation book. In fact, here at Ascension, we have meditation books, these little blue books. You can find them near the entrances of our church building. They have daily meditations to help us to anticipate the joy of Christmas, to help us prepare ourselves spiritually for that celebration. There are also Advent wreaths, like we have here at Ascension, where each candle represents a Sunday, and we light one each Sunday. So we're counting the weeks building up to Christmas. That way we're also increasing our anticipation and our desire for that celebration. In fact, at the rectory, we have an Advent wreath on our dining room table. And so as we see it throughout the day, it helps remind us that we are in the season of Advent and we are preparing for the joy of Christmas. I can recall also when I was a little boy, my family would gather together around the Advent wreath and we would light the candles, the same number of candles as whatever Sunday it happened to be. And we would pray a few prayers and we would share with each other what we were looking forward to, what we were anticipating when Christmas came. And that helped us as a family to grow closer together, but it also helped us as a family to anticipate that joy, the grace, the blessings that God wishes to give us at Christmas. There's also Advent calendars. They typically would have a tab for each day, and you can move one of the tabs, and there could be a scripture verse there or a scripture reference for you to look up and to read and to meditate and pray with. Some Advent calendars are designed in such a way that they have a slot or a spot for a little piece of candy, so you can get a little extra incentive to anticipate the Christmas season. Can be particularly popular with children. Not only will it help them anticipate Christmas, but also anticipate going to the Advent calendar, because they get that little piece of candy when they do so. But Advent calendars, by counting the days, they help prepare us for that celebration of Christmas. They help prepare us Build that anticipation for the joy. There's also a lesser known way of building that anticipation. It's called a Jesse tree. And a Jesse tree is basically kind of like a Christmas tree, but you hang ornaments on it with symbols that represent different stories in salvation history. So that as we are approaching Christmas, we are also going through the history that we find in sacred scripture, everything that builds up to the birth of Christ. So that as all of humanity is preparing for Christ, we too, during the Advent season, are preparing to welcome the Lord anew within our hearts at the Christmas season when it comes. There's also the great joy of the sacrament of confession. Many people are intimidated by it and might think it's weird that I said great joy. But having our souls cleansed, being reunited with God, is a source of joy. And that's a great way to help prepare us for Christmas. Because the more we are cleansed of our sins, the better we are able to receive God's grace. And so confession is another great way to prepare for Christmas. In addition to our regular schedule for confessions, we will also have on the last week of Advent, on Monday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will have Advent Parish Confessions. And we'll have additional guest priests to come to help out with hearing confessions. So you're all invited to participate in that great opportunity to receive God's mercy, His forgiveness, and the joy that awaits us in that sacrament. So we should be watching, waiting, anticipating, looking forward to and expecting what God wishes to give us. And these five ways that I've suggested can help us in that journey, but there are other ways as well. But there's also some obstacles, some temptations that we might encounter during our journey towards Christmas. Sometimes we can get caught up in what's going on in the world. Sometimes we can get caught up in things like decorations and parties and getting the perfect gift for another person. And while those things are good, it's important that we don't let those things become the primary objective, that we don't lose focus on what's most important, and that is preparing ourselves spiritually for the coming of Christ at Christmas. So let us take a moment to plan our Advent season, what we will do during these 4 weeks building up to Christmas to help us to be ready for that encounter with the Lord. Let us also, in this next moment of silence, prepare ourselves to encounter Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.